We should probably get going. There may be some others straggling in here. Not exactly packing them in, are we, Jim? We got to get to do a little more proselytizing, get the word out first week of school. People didn't actually think we were going to do this. For those of you who may be new to the process, the object of this game is to read the pericopes 10 days in advance. That is a week from Sunday. I guess that's obvious from the announcement. The reason for that is that if you actually might be using this for a sermon, you really need to worry about it before Wednesday of the actual week on which you're preaching. So that was the idea. And really, again, the ground rules are simply this. You just come. I mean, you don't have to feel you're going to be called on or embarrassed or have to prepare. If you have time to look this stuff over in advance, I think it sort of enhances your benefit because you maybe know what some of the questions are. But essentially, Professor Gibbs or Veltz or one of the other NT guys and myself or one of the other OT guys will do the texts for you. Now, Genesis 50, 15 to 21. Are we on the right page? Obviously, this is the end of the book Genesis, and with it, the end of the story of the patriarchal history, which culminates in getting to Egypt, for better or for worse. And here now, Joseph and his brothers have just come back from burying Dad. Jacob has died, and they take him, they cart the body home, and put him in the cave of Machpelah, which, remember, is really about the only real estate the patriarchs actually owned in the Promised Land, retirement real estate. And now they don't know what to do. So this is kind of the denouement now. They're back in Egypt, and the obvious question in the story is, now what? In any culture, but perhaps more so in a culture like this than ours, funerals, especially of the patriarch, of the pater familias, is a major event. I mean, this is like a turning point in history. What's going to happen next? And it is a time to make peace in the family. Funerals are often a time not to make sort of an artificial, at least let's bury the hatchet and mourn our loved one, but say, in order for this family to survive, we have to make peace. And in many cultures, this is of extreme importance at the time of a patriarchal funeral. And that's probably what's behind this whole thing, all right? They realize now, not just that Dad's gone and maybe, now Joseph will take his chance, but there's this necessity of getting everybody back on the same page. All right, let's translate. V'yir'u achi Yosef. And the brothers of Joseph. Now, what's the root here? A little grammatical snafu. Yir'u is probably the third hey root, ra'ah, without the third hey, which is the way it's supposed to work, in which case it's saw. You've probably always confused ra'ah with yare, the first yod root that means to fear, because they often look the same. Technically, yir'a, or the yare root, should retain the yod. That's one of those first yod verbs that is truly a first yod verb, not a first wow verb like most first yods, really first wows. So that to have the imperfect of that verb, you should have another yod there, in which case you'd have to argue it's defective spelling. Now there's a flag on the play. I think the Septuagint has this as, no, what is it, Vulgate? Sorry, I'm looking at 1615. The Latin has tementes, which implies being afraid, see, fearing. And they're reading that as the other root. But my guess is almost all English translations take this as see, which is okay, but a little awkward. I mean, they didn't really see anything. I mean, and what does it say? The brothers of Joseph saw that dead their father. Well, duh. They just buried the guy. I mean, this isn't sort of seeing in the sense of, oh, how about this? But here, I think it's more idiomatic, that seeing, and we use the same idiom at times, doesn't mean just to recognize by sight, but to kind of go, wait a minute, what are the implications of this? It's kind of a thought reflection rather than simply visual. Oh, now I get it. What does that mean? That you've received something in your hand? No. Oh, I see what you mean. The brothers of Joseph saw that dead their father. Great Hebrew syntax. Maith is really a stative verb, almost used as an adjective, that dead their father is, was. Remember, avihem is singular. Av adds this extra hirik yod just to be tricky, but if it's only got one dot, there's only one father. Remember that old trick? Their father was dead, and they said, Lou. Lou is one of these what if. Introduces a conditional question, conditional question. What if Yistamenu Yosef? What if Joseph will satam us? Parse the verb. You see, it's the imperfect of a verb satam with the enu ending. He will satam us. Now, you probably don't know satam. Not a common verb. If it's any comfort, I looked it up too. It means to bear a grudge. Interestingly enough, apart from a couple of uses in Psalms and Job, it's used three times, all in Genesis, once here, once in the previous chapter, and once in 27:41, where it talks about Esau bearing a grudge against Jacob. And the fact that it's used so rarely is one of those things that kind of raises an interesting question. You almost wonder if this isn't sort of bracketing. The story of Jacob starts with the birthright issue there, and Esau hating Jacob and sataming him, and now sort of the next generation, we got a similar problem on our hands, and we've got to resolve this internecine or interfraternity, the brothers, kind of bearing a grudge against one another. And we can't really move forward in the salvation history until we deal with the problem of forgiveness. Now, that's not a bad sort of homiletical application, I think. Not just to relate this to sort of, golly, we ought to forgive one another, but that this is a theme in the story here, in the whole salvation history, at a major turning point now. Can we make peace and move the promise on? So they say, what if Joseph bears a grudge, remains out to get us? Might not be a bad translation. And Hashav Yashiv Lanu, form, Hashav, infinitive, absolute, hifil, used as its intensifying adverbial idiom. With Yashiv, if he will surely return, cause to come back to us all the ra'ah, all the evil, which gamal nu otho, which we have gamaled him. Gamal means to do. We'd have to add a preposition almost, which we have done to him, which we have rendered him. Could get it as a direct object. 16. And they, this is the root sawa in the pial. Third hay is gone, literally command. Now, they would not have commanded to Joseph. I think the L here kind of indirect makes this indirect. And they gave orders to Joseph, got an order to Joseph, saying, your father has commanded before his moth, before his death, saying, Ko tomru li Yosef, thus you will say to Joseph, Ana sa na pesha akeka. Boy, we got an ana and another na. We got lots of imperative particles here. Now you know you don't know really how to translate these na things. Please, I pray thee. That's what they give you in the old grammars. I've never been sure that's what it means. It's some kind of a little softening of an imperative. And the fact that they have two here. Is kind of pretty please, I suppose. Sa is from nasa, to lift up, and used idiomatically with words for sin to forgive. To lift up the guilt means to take it off of somebody else. So you can translate, forgive the pesha of your brothers, pesha, guilt, of your brothers, and their chatath, and their sin. For ra'ah, they have gamaled you. We just did that, right? Because evil they have done to you. Va'ata, next line. And now, sa'na, once again, lift up now, with reference to, if you want to translate the lamed, the pesha of the servants of the God of your father. Nice use of a sort of indirect reference here. Notice they don't say us. They say the servants of the God of your father, getting both God and your father in on the action here. How you reference this sort of thing. You know, it's interesting. Do we have any record that Jacob ever really said this? You know, I've always harbored at least the suspicion that they're making this up. I mean, they're blowing smoke here. Is it? Oh, yeah, right. Then again, maybe not. But they're certainly motivated more by, I think, saving their own hide than carrying forth the wishes of Jacob. But it could well be true. Like I said, at a time of a funeral, you got to do this stuff. Well, now, here's... by the way, they have not come in yet, right? They don't even come till the next verse. So this is sort of the word that they got. That's the force of that commanded word at the beginning. They got word to Joseph. And Joseph's response is, V'yevk, now there's a million-dollar parsing form, V'yevk. This has just about everything gone wrong that can go wrong with a verb, all right? To save time, I'll just tell you, it's from the root of baka, which when in doubt, it's probably third hey, if not a geminate, I guess. But you lost the third hey, the kaf becomes a final kaf, the yod takes a saray, which it's not supposed to. Anyway, this is from baka, to weep, cry, tears. And Joseph cried, bit dabram elav, in Daber is the PAL infinitive construct. This isn't in their word, but in their speaking to him. 18. V'yelaku gam. And now his brothers, and they actually came to him, Halak. And also his brothers came to him and fell before him. Again, there probably was some messenger reporting this, you see. And they fell before him. Yipalu from Nephal. There's a first nun that's assimilated. V'yomaru, and they said, Hinenu, laka la avadim. Hinenu, here we are. Right? This is hine plus the pronominal suffix, first plural. Behold, we. To you, four evids, four servants, all right? To be to somebody for something means to be as your servants. We are your servants is a legitimate translation. We are for you like servants. 19. And he said, Elohim, to them, Joseph did, Al tira'u. Now here we certainly have, see, this is the word for fear, and you see how the first yod is retained. Al tira'u, fear not. Do not be afraid. Remember, al with an imperfect is always your negative command. Huh? Takath, Elohim, ani. Great Hebrew. Question mark. That's the hey interrogative. Takath, you learned as the preposition for under, in the place of, instead of. In the place of Elohim, am I? Make it a question. Am I in the place of God? Which assumes, of course, that God is the one not only to forgive, but to have servants like brothers.
What do you think that translates sometimes to say
Pardon me? Well, that's, I mean, it's, that, what do you, what are you doing with the question mark? No, I don't think so. Right? I mean, it's a question. Am I in the place of God? Va'atem. You kashavd against me evil. Kashav means to reckon, consider, plan. You planned against me ra'ah, evil. God planned it. Interesting, it's the same verb. See, you planned A, God planned B. Kashava, the ah there is the direct object, ra'ah is feminine. God planned it, that is the evil, litova, for good. Be interesting to sort, do kind of a word study on the places where good and evil occur as a pair and in contrast to one another. Actually goes back to the one of the first stories in the book of Genesis. Lama'an, for the sake of to do, asa is the infinitive, it's actually infinitive absolute of asa, for the sake of doing like this day to Hachyoth, hifil, infinitive construct of chaya, to make alive, hifil of chaya, to make alive an am rav, a great big am, huh? In number. Rav is usually big in number. All right, that's a little crude. God considered it for good, so that, or in order to make, as we got today, like today, this very day, to keep alive an am rav. Okay? Now, of course, what's the evil? This was the whole business of selling them into Egypt, you see. And the story here is now that they have become, in Egypt, an am rav, which immediately, on the next page, becomes a problem. All right? They're starting to outnumber the minority, the ethnic minority, has started to become too close to a majority for comfort. All right? So the Pharaoh takes appropriate action. I guess we do 21 yet, and then I got to get out of here, right? We got to hustle, Jeff. And you're always accusing me of taking too much time. 21, and rightly so. And now, va'ata al tirau, do not be afraid. I ekal kael. Oh my gosh, you got to parse that. Whoa, this will make your blood rush. This is the pill pail. The pill pail. Which is those that funny reduplicated P-A-L for verbs that don't have a middle root letter, like hollows. It's from cool. So it's one of those weird substitutes for the D-stem or the P-A-L. What it means is a little more difficult. This is one of these things that it means to sustain, to get the reward. Here it must mean something like sustain or keep alive or provide support for. And I'm not sure the lexicon's a whole lot of help, because my guess is they'll give you a bunch of meanings and then say, here it means sustain, keep alive, provide for. Do not be afraid. I have provided for you and for your taf, your offspring. That's sort of the generic word for kids, family. And yinachim. Ooh, that's a beautiful word, nakam, to comfort. And he comforted them and spoke upon their heart. Interesting, that's the exact same words you get in Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort, speak tenderly is speak upon the heart of Jerusalem and tell her that her warfare is over, da-da-da. So, of course, now, I'll make one quick theological comment while Dr. Gibbs comes up here. These stories, you always are tempted to moralize, and this becomes a sermon on forgiving your brother. Now, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with preaching on forgiving your brother. But the whole point of the patriarchal stories, especially here at the end of the book of Genesis, you see, is directly related to the history of God's promised salvation. And that, you see, God is behind what's going out and what's playing on in the lives of these people. And that it's really connected not just to their own little personal interactions, but to God's plan of salvation, in which they are privileged to be major players, huh? To have a part, a stake in that. But it's really not for their own sake, but for the sake of moving the history along to the next generation.